Time now to look back at Rosehill on a magnificent day at Rosehill Gardens. BMW was the feature event for the first time in its history after sharing that accolade, I suppose, and perhaps being overshadowed by the Golden Slipper in recent years. But what a field it was for the BMW. And from Racing and Sports, Gary Crisp is joining us to review what was a fantastic day of racing. Good afternoon, Gary.
Yeah, good day, Jason. How are you going?
Very well, thanks. The BMW, one of the best fields that we've seen in quite some time, especially with the internationals, coming to our shores for the first time, the likes of To The World. But it was the other import, Hartnell, who was just dominant in his victory there in the BMW.
Yeah, look, it certainly was a good quality field. As you say, there was a lot of depth there and, several Group 1 winners. And it was great to see the Japanese horse down here To The World, but he wasn't up to the task on the day. But I wouldn't be giving up too quickly on him, Jason. I think that he did look pretty burly in the enclosure for the race. And I think getting back to 2,000 metres of the Queen Elizabeth will definitely suit him a little bit better. I know he runs second in the Arena Kinnan at 2,500, but his best ratings and form has really been, I think, at 2,000 metres. So we'll definitely see a fitter version of To The World when he lines up in that race. But Hartnell's been tremendous since he's been here. John O'Shea's done a terrific job with him, and he's improved his time form rating considerably since he has arrived in Australia. I mean, it was a fair horse in the UK. You know, he won the Queen's Race there over 3,200 metres and beat a reasonable field of three-year-olds that day. And that race has a history of producing some pretty good horses. Leading Light won it the year before, and he went on to win the Ascot Dole Cup. And, of course, Estimate, the Queen's horse, won it the year prior. So he's in pretty good company as far as that race is concerned, and he's certainly blossomed here under John O'Shea's training.
Looks like he'll go to the Sydney Cup, Gary.
Yeah, look, I think they probably will. He's very well weighted there. And, of course, if he does happen to win it, he'll join a very select group of horses in recent memory, like Tie the Knot in 99. Of course, the great Kingston Town in 82 have completed the double. But neither of those two horses had the weight drop that this guy will get down to 52, so from 57.5. So, and as we know, he'll have no trouble with the 3,200 metres. So, and, you know, the Cup is shaping up as, a very good race at this stage. You've got Who Shot the Barman that ran very well there on Saturday. We've got him running pretty much on song. His rating is, time form rating is 120, which is pretty much what he ran to in the Melbourne Cup. And Protectionist, we've got him going 120, which is just slightly under his run in the Herbert Power before he went on and won the Melbourne Cup. So he's definitely improved there on Saturday, Jason, and he's certainly going to be better at 2 miles for sure and certain.
Plenty of people do want to jump off To The World after he's run there, but I guess as we saw with Hannah's Gold, who took out the All Age last year, sometimes the Japanese might need one run to acclimatise.
Oh, that's right, Jason. We've seen it before, and look, looking at the Japanese connections after the race there on Saturday, they weren't disappointed at all. I mean, I think they were quite delighted with the performance, and you know, he's a serious horse, To The World. There's no doubt about it. And he'll take considerable improvement out of that race. We've got him running to a time for a figure of 122, which is a couple of pounds under his second tier level that he ran to in Japan, and 6 pounds under his 128 figure that he ran in the Arena Kinnan. So he's got plenty of scope for improvement, and I think we'll see a much fitter horse in 2 weeks' time.
Did anything rate of the beaten brigade, those third and worse?
Look, well, as I think Who Shot the Barman and Protection, their figures are improving steadily, as you'd expect, as they move out towards the 2 mile. And, you know, they'll meet Hartnell a lot worse at the weights, of course, as well. But I think the advantage they've got also is that they'll run a very strong 2 miles. And you know, it'll actually come down, I think, probably to the way the race is run on the end of the day, track conditions and those sorts of things. But they're certainly going the right way. I wouldn't be disappointed in either of those two horses. Silent Achiever just seems to be below her best, as does Lucy Valentina. She's lost about 5 pounds in her time form rating between this time last year and also the spring, so maybe she's not travelling as well. But overall, I think, another horse we should mention, I guess, is Beaten Up. He got to a figure of 121 on Saturday, which is his exact same figure that he returned when he won the Durbin Cup. So Chris Waller's done a great job getting him back to form as well.
All right, Gary, just hold on for 30 seconds. Race 2 Manawatu about to go.
Racing, making time with Slow Away here, and to Big Time Moolah best away, Big Time Pulse forward. Big Time Rain trying to poke through and Making Time trying to drive up the inside. Round the outside to Pistols Princess. Big Time Redfoo's got back with Big Time Tricks and Ritza River trying to pick its way through. Big Time Pulse in front by about three lengths here from Big Time Moolah around the corner. Big Time Redfoo's starting to charge home and Ritza River's getting into its work late as well. Down they come. Big Time Pulse, Ritza River over the top. Ritza River from Big Time Pulse. Then Big Time Moolah third with Big Time Tricks, Big Time Redfoo. And they'd be followed across by Pistols Princess, Big Time Rain, and the favourite Making Time's finished last.
873, Ritza River 490-170, Build Time Pulse 170, and three Big Time Moolah at $3.60. So speaking with Racing and Sports, Gary Crisp. Gary, the Vinery Stud Stakes brought a really nicely bred filly, Fenway, to the winner's list. Perhaps a start prior to what we'd thought. She's certainly an Oaks filly, but it was a terrific ride by Blake Shin and a really good feel-good story all round.
Yeah, it certainly was, Jason. It's as only the racing industry can produce these sort of stories, can't it? And it was, I thought it was a gem of a ride by Blake as well. And is anybody riding any better than him? Probably James McDonald and Blake are the two informed jockeys in Sydney at the moment, and they fought this race out. I mean, Fenway's only very lightly raced, I think, which is in her favour here, and she did show a glimpse of form during the spring. Her two runs this time in have been quite good. Her last start against the mares, the older mares, was very good as well. And she did come into this race, I guess, you know, at bigger odds than perhaps her form, you know, suggests she should. She'll improve again. We've got her running a figure of 114 in this race, which is not one of the best renewals of the race, but certainly not far off some of the, like Lisa Valentina, who won the race, Norzita, that sort of level. Not quite there yet, but certainly a very progressive type that I think we're going to see take another step when, next time she races. And First Seal obviously had her problems here. She pulled up, she bled from one nostril, and that was reflected in her time form figures at 10 pounds below her best form. Now, whether it was a combination of the bleed plus the 2,000 metres, not sure, but certainly she was well below form. And the rest of the race sort of hangs together round about that with the winner running 114. So our only conclusion there is that perhaps First Seal obviously might be better going back to a mile, 1,600 metres, that sort of distance. But this is a very good race for the Oaks, Jason. There's seven of the last 15 winners have come through this race for the ATC Oaks. Of course, Rising Romance last year ran fourth in this race behind Miss Clementina, and she turned the tables on that mare on the Oaks. And, Streamer the year before, Once Were Wild, Heavenly Glow, Serenade Rose, Dizelle, and Tempest Moon. So there's a very strong group of fillies there that have used this race to bounce off into the ATC Oaks, and I think that probably Fenway, and of course there's a few beaten horses here, Thunder Lady, Ballet Suite, very much like the run of Winks here. I thought she didn't have a lot of luck on the straight. She ran about 5 pounds below her best. I think you can put that down to the bad luck she suffered in running.
I think the form of Fenway is probably further enhanced with the run of Noble Protector coming through the Matron Stakes there, and its run at brilliant win at Moonee Valley last Friday.
Yeah, that's right, Jason. The form around Noble Protector, even through contributors through in the spring, that form line is proven to be extremely strong. So I think there's a lot of positives there for Fenway.
What about with First Seal? What's your opinion on her going forward with this campaign after the bleed?
Oh, look, I think they'll make the right decision for her. She's a very valuable filly and already a Group 1 winner. So whether they do push on and drop back to the Queen of the Turf at 1,600, I think it remains to be seen. I guess a lot will depend on how she does trial before the stewards and what John and, the China Horse Club boys think about her. But certainly she's very valuable and, her winning run's not finished yet. I think that, if she stays around that mile, 1,400 mile mark, I think that's probably where she's going to produce the best figures. Certainly on our figures, that's where she's definitely run her best numbers.
Interested to hear your opinion, Gary. The Tullock Stakes form up against that of the Rose Hill Guineas. He looked a nice colt, Araki, the way he hit the line after his victory on Saturday.
Yeah, look, he did, and he did it with pretty conviction as well, didn't he? He's always had a bit of a rap on him, this guy. I mean, we found it a little bit difficult to get a handle on this race. I mean, there's a lot of horses, progressive types, coming from various different form lines. And the race itself hasn't really stood up as a guide to the Derby for some time, probably since Starcraft in 2004. He was the last horse to actually win the double. And, of course, Universal Prince in 01, Ivory's Irish in 95, and, of course, the Great Mahogany in 94. They're the only four horses to come through this race. And I think We did have a stellar period there in the mid-90s and early 2000s, but since then the race has tended to fall away a bit in terms of quality and class, and it hasn't really been a factor when you look at the Derby by comparison to, say, the Rosehill Guineas. But maybe this guy is an exception. He certainly has got a lot of scope for upside. We've got him rated 113 off this run with more to come, and he's going to have to find more to reach those better quality horses that come through the Rosehill Guineas. But he'd be the most impressive winner of this race, Sean, for probably 3 or 4 years at least. So certainly he's got that going for him, and he's in the right stable.
Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting race, that one, coming up the Derby next week. All right, Gary, been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to chatting to you again this carnival.
Yeah, good on you, Jason. Thanks very much.
Gary Crisp there from Racing and Sports.